Good morning. Happy Sabbath, everybody. It's a beautiful, nice, crisp morning, and I'm loving this fall weather. When I saw that Isabella was going to sing, I was very excited to see that. I love it when she sings. So that was a beautiful song, and praise God for what He has done. Before we get started, I wanted to tell you something that happened. Last night, in my dreams, I had this horrible nightmare. And I dreamed I got up here and I was getting ready to bring the message, and I didn't have my notes. I did not have my Bible. I thought, where is my stuff? So I went out to the car. Was not out in the car. I thought, and I had to hurry and get back in the church. And everybody's coming in here and congregating. And then, you ever had that where you can't put your feet, get your feet moving? They won't move. And I'm on gravel, this thick gravel. And then I got to go around this fence, the cyclone fence, way around. And it's just like, you're in this strain. And when I woke up, I said, praise, thank you, Lord, that was just a nightmare. But it was not real, so thank you. Let's go to God in prayer. Thank you, Father, so much that you are real. And we can praise you for everything you do, but we praise you for who you are. Father, that you are always with us. You never leave us. You never forsake us. We thank you that you are always seeking us first. And that we can rest on. We talked about that in our Sabbath school class today, how God is always looking. You're always looking for us. You're always searching for us like that lost coin. That we are precious to you. We are so precious to you, just like the rest. You seek out that lost coin, and I am so grateful that you have that mindset for us, Father. Thank you for this day. We are here to serve you. We ask your Holy Spirit be in this room, and we ask that he will stay with us, come visit us, and give me the words I need to say, Father, that only your words are speaking today, I ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Standing on His Promises is the title of my message. Years ago, when my girls were little, I would plan a trip. We would plan to take them to Astroworld or to go to the lake or to the beach, go do something fun. And it was so exciting when, you have this anticipation. You know how it is when you're a kid? You remember? It's like you have the butterflies in your stomach and you're so excited. But every once in a while, something would happen, like you get a rain out. Or, someone gets sick. Every once in a while, something would stop that happening. And it was so disappointing to my kids when they didn't, when their plans got canceled, it didn't go through. And so I hated that as a parent. As a parent, you hated to always, for their little spirits to be let down like that. And it makes you feel terrible inside when you can't come through with your plans and to see their faces that way. And so it got to the point where you wouldn't tell them. I know a lot of you do this. You don't tell your kids we got plans because if it doesn't go through, then you don't want to reap the repercussions. Is that the word I'm looking for? You don't want to go through what you have to when their kids are upset sometimes. It's not a pretty thing. Sometimes it's not a happy sight. But, so sometimes you just don't tell them to the last minute. And then all of a sudden they're elated. They get to do and have fun. But there's so many disappointments going on right now in this world. And in fact, the world's actually going through a lot right now. Just turn on the TV. Television right now. You see so many things going on in Ukraine, with the war. And the radio, you turn on the radio. Look at the things that are being taught in schools. There's a lot of things that are digressing. The filth in the commercials. Even the commercials you thought were safe, not anymore. There's so much. Has anybody heard of the energy crisis that we're in right now as far as the diesel crisis? Have you heard of it? There's a thing going on right now. And there, it's a real thing. We don't know. They're actually predicting sometime next week or within the next 2 weeks, that our supply of diesel could run very, very low. That happens. What are the things that can happen with that? No trains, no trucks, no deliveries, no heating for the north. You're right. CNBC calls the diesel market a perfect storm, as some say that the U.S. has less than 2 weeks' supply. U.S. economy advisor Brian Deese said October 21st, he said that we have 25 days of reserve energy left of our diesel supply. Now, I'm hoping that this is like Y2K, maybe. It doesn't go through. And I pray that that doesn't happen. But that is something that we need to be aware of. Because of the war in Ukraine, Russia, we are not buying diesel from there. Neither is Europe. So they're going through a lot. In fact, this past summer, the Germans, they began clear-cutting ancient forests to heat their homes. The UK, the government projected more than 10,000 Brits will freeze to death this winter for lack of heat and fuel in England. So this is a lot to be aware of because of this. But meanwhile, and as far as the ruble goes, the Russian ruble is doing very well. Their economy is doing great, but Europe is not. Our government has banned oil, natural gas, and coal, banned buying that from there, because it's our moral duty to do that. And at the same time, domestic oil production here has been crushed by the cancellation of our oil and gas leases. Now, I don't want to stay on that too long, but so we know what could happen with this. We know everything runs on diesel. But God's word did say that in the last days the world would continue to digress and decay. 2 Timothy 3:1-5 says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection," meaning unloving, "truce breakers, unforgiving, false accusers, incontent with self," meaning without self-control, incontinent with self, without self-control, "fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away." And there's no doubt, and I don't mean to be a Debbie Downer, but there's no doubt we are in those times. So have I dropped your spirits enough? Wanted to do a little Ellen White quote. Can't get in my phone. William, what is my password? He learned my password, by the way. It goes in the Review and Herald. "Nearness of the end. Troublous times are right upon us. The fulfilling of the signs of the times gives evidence that the day of the Lord is near at hand. The daily papers are full of indications of a terrible conflict in the future. Both robberies are of frequent occurrence. Strikes are common. Thefts and murders are committed on every hand. Men possessed of demons are taking the lives of men and women and little children." That seems to be pretty common now, doesn't it? "All these things testify that the coming of Christ is near at hand. The doctrine that men are released from obedience to God's requirements has weakened the force of moral obligation and opened the floodgates of iniquity upon the world. Lawlessness and dissipation and corruption are sweeping upon us like an overwhelming tide. In the family, Satan is at work. His banner waves even in professed Christian households. There's even evil surmising, hypocrisy, strife, betrayal of sacred trusts, indulgence of lusts. The whole system of religious principles and doctrines, which should form the foundation of framework of social life, seems to be a tottering mass ready to fall to ruin. Courts of justice are corrupt." You see that everywhere. "Rulers are actuated by a desire for gain, a love of sensual pleasure. Intemperance has beclouded the faculties of many so that Satan has almost complete control of them. Jurists are perverted, bribed, deluded, drunkenness and revelry, passion, envy, dishonesty of every sort are represented among those who administer the laws. Justice standeth far off, for truth is fallen to the street, and iniquity cannot enter, or equity cannot enter. Men are rushed on in the mad race of gain and selfish indulgence, as if there were no God, no heaven, and no hereafter. I mean, it is very disheartening to read this, and as you know, we do see that today. But, and we're supposed to know what's coming upon the world, but also be prepared spiritually for this as well. And we are to have the faith and the faith of Jesus, not just the faith in Jesus, but the faith of Jesus. What kind of faith did he have? That faith of Jesus. You know? He had a strong faith. He had a strong faith in his Father. He clung to his Father. He stayed in prayer. So this dying world needs a messenger, and we are to be the light of the world. One thing I do know is that we can hope in our Lord Jesus. Our God is a God of hope and a God of promises that he always keeps. Our scripture text we had that was said today was nevertheless, was 2 Peter 3, 13, 14. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, whereas righteousness dwells. So I started searching in my Bible to find out what promises, for more promises that God has made for us. And needless to say, there are way too many to put down on paper. But I did put some on paper, and I'm going to actually distribute these papers if my husband will bring and hand them out. Because I want us all, and Brother Marcus, if you can help, I want us to actually see a list of promises. And when you get this paper and you take it home with you, I want you to, when you find a new promise, add it to it. Write it on the side. Write it in the back. Write the promises. When you see something that is a promise that I don't have on that paper, put it down. Add it to it. Because there are so many. There are so many. So as they bring them around, I hope I printed out many. There may be some you need to share, but I think I might have enough. And I managed to find several that I think merits looking at. And it makes me think of the song, Standing on the Promises. It is a very good song. Pretty much everyone have one? Okay, number one, 1 John 5:11 through 13 and John 3:16. He promised that God has given us eternal life through his Son. Why? Why has he given us eternal life through his Son? Because he loved us. Yes, he loves us. He loves us very much. Number two, 1 John 5:14, he promised that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Number three, Zephaniah 3:17. He promised that he dwells mightily in the midst of us. He's in the middle of our lives. He's not up there detached. He's in the middle. I love that part of it. He promised that he will save us, that he will rejoice over us with joy, that he will rest, we will rest in his love. He promised that he sings over us. Wow, he sings over us. Number four, Zephaniah 3:18, he promised that he will gather his people who are in sorrow together for a solemn assembly. You know, things are sorrowful now, but not forever, not for long. Zephaniah 3:19, he promised to undo all the affliction on his people. Are we his people? Yeah, yes we are. Number six, Matthew 6:31 through 34, he promised that we do not have to worry about our next meal or our clothing. You know, just like what was read in the stewardship ring, was Skylar was reading how we have a lot of excess, don't we, in food and clothing, but he takes care of us. He's always plentiful. He promised that he knows all things and all the things we need. He promised that if we seek his kingdom and his righteousness first, that all these things will be taken care of and answers will be added. He promised that we do not have to worry about tomorrow. Trusting. Do we worry about tomorrow? Yeah, we tend to do that. Number seven, he promised in Proverbs 3:5-6, if we trust, there's that word again, trust. Trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding. And in all our ways submit to him, he will direct our paths. He promised. Number eight, he promised in Psalm 34:7 and 2 Kings 6:8-23, he promised that the angel of the Lord encamps around those that fear him and delivers them. Psalm 91:11, he promised that he will give his angels charge over us and keep us in his ways. And I love the story. And I want you to take your Bibles, speaking of this, giving angels charge over us. 2 Kings, if you'll turn your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. If you don't have a Bible, there's one in front of you in the little slot. It's chapter 6, verse 8 through 23. And I know this is a lot to read, but this is such a good story. This is one of the stories, one of my favorite stories in the Bible. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8. We're going to go through 8, 23. And this is a story where Elisha and his servant are in... they are surrounded. The king of Syria, Elisha, is actually telling the king of Israel the plans of the king of Syria. And he's not happy about this because he actually thinks there's a mole or a snitch in his camp that's telling their plans to the army of Israel. Okay, verse 8 says, the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him, and warned him of saving himself there not once or twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. He called his servants and said unto them, will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? Meaning, do I have a spy in my camp? And one of the servants said, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore he sent thither horses, chariots, and great hosts, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host of compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, master, how shall we do? So the servant saw them, and he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Kind of sounds familiar. Greater is he that is in me than he is in the world. Okay, and Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee upon his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened his eyes, and the young man he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire about Elisha. And when he came down to him, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, this is not the way, neither is the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom ye seek. But he led them to Samaria. And it came to pass, when they were come to Samaria, that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men, that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said to Elisha, when he saw them, My father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? And he answered, Thou shalt not smite them. Wouldst thou smite those whom you hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink, and go to their master. And he prepared the great provision for them. And when they had eaten and drunk, he set them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more unto the land of Israel. Okay, there's such an analogy here in verse 21 through 23 that is such a beautiful picture here. The army of Syria, they were shown mercy by not killing them and grace by feeding them. And it put out that fire, that anger that Syria, the king of Syria, had. But go back to verse 22. I want you to look at verse 22 where it says, thou shalt not smite them. Wouldst thou smite them, those who thou hast taken captive with thy sword? What does the sword represent? What does the sword? The word of God. What does the bow represent? The power of God. So what does the bread represent? What does the bread represent? What is bread symbolic for? The bread of life. It's Jesus. Okay? And the water is Jesus as well. But he's saying here, he said, wouldst thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword? You've got, and with thy bow, you have the power of God over them. And you have the sword of the Spirit. You have the word of God. Do you want to kill them when you have now their attention? Because the thing is, they understood that they were vulnerable. When their eyes were opened, they saw their vulnerability, that they were at death's door and they needed a Savior. And we are the same way. We see that when we are not walking with Christ, we are warring against him. And then he opens our eyes and he shows us that we are at death's door. We are vulnerable and we need a Savior. And when he has our attention, and yet the power of God comes over us and the word of God comes to us, and then we realize that we do need a Savior. And he gives us his word and he gives us grace. He not only gives us mercy, he gives us grace, and he feeds us with his word, and he gives us the bread of life, who is Jesus, and he gives us the living water that is our Savior. And we understand that. We see that mercifulness in him. And it's such a beautiful story how it shows mercy and grace. All right, number 10, Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. He promised to never leave us or forsake us. He promised that he's our helper and that we do not have to fear man. Isaiah 41:10, he promised that we do not have to fear because he is with us to strengthen us, to help us, uphold us with the right hand of his righteousness. 1 John 1:9, he promised that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How much? All unrighteousness. Mark 16:16, he promised that anyone who believes, anyone, baptized will be saved. Is baptism important? It's very important. Very important. Psalm 46, he promised that he is a very present help. As I said before, he's right here in the midst of us. He promised that we can be still. We can just be still. Sometimes, do you want to just get still with God? Do you want to just shut everything out? God says to do this. He says to shut it all out. Now, be still. Be still and know that I'm God. He promised that he is the Lord of hosts, many hosts, and he is with us. Skip 15. Let's go on. I'm going to go a little bit further, but go to number 16. 1 John, and you can read these others down later on. 16. 1 John 4, 4-7, 12 and 15, he promised that he who is in us is greater than he that is in the world. He promised, number 12, that if we love one another, he dwells in us, and he and his love has been perfected in us through love. He promised that whosoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he is in God. He is God. Ephesians 3:20 promised that he is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Exceedingly and abundantly. Philippians 4, 6, and 7, he promised that we do not have to be anxious for anything. For how many things? Anything, nothing, anxious for nothing. But in prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, we are to let our requests be made known to him. And the peace that he gives us will surpass all our understanding and guard our hearts and minds through Jesus. Skip on down to 21. Matthew 25, 34, he promised that those on his right hand will be blessed of the Father and inherit the kingdom prepared for them. Which hand do you want to be on? The right hand. You want to be on his right side. Romans 8, 37, he promised that we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. We are warriors. We are warriors for Christ. All right, the next one, 23, Jude 24, he promised that he is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. What does faultless mean? What does that mean? No fault. There you go. Nothing. No sin. We're white as snow. No fault. 2 Corinthians 12:9. He promised that his grace is sufficient for us and his strength is made perfect. How is his strength made perfect? In our weakness. You ever been to the point sometimes at your wit's end, at the last rope, at the end of the rope? You ever felt like sometimes you just can't go on anymore? And God comes through? It has to be through his merit, not ours. Our strength has to be only his merit. That's what's going to get us through in the end times. Not our own strength. We will not have it. It will have to be through his. Luke 24:49, Acts 1:4, he promised that he would send the Holy Spirit to us. Amen. Matthew 10:18 through 21, he promised that we are not to worry about what to speak, for it will be given to us in that same hour what we are to speak, because the Spirit of God will speak to us and tell us what we are to say. This is one I prayed this morning. This is one I lean on heavily. Number 29, 1 Corinthians 10:13, he promised that he is faithful and he will not suffer us to be tempted above what we are able to handle. But he'll always make a way to escape if we can't. I like that. I like that. He will give us the ability to flee temptation. Malachi 3:10 through 12, he promised abundant blessings of our tithes. Now, does that mean prosperity is entail? Does that mean we will have lots and lots of money? Doesn't mean that. He says, prove me now. He said, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. But he will bless us, and he will bless us abundantly because of our tithe and our faithfulness of tithing. 31, John 16:33, he promised that in him we might have peace. In the world we will have tribulation. Of course we will. But to be of good cheer because what? He has overcome the world. He has overcome the world. Amen. Matthew 24:30 and 31, he promised that the Son of Man will be coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. I look forward to that day. And he promised that he shall send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet. Wow. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. He promised. And that's something I want us to understand. God loves for us to come to him with his word and to remind him of his promises. He loves it. He loves it. He loves for us to repeat back to him what he has already said to us. That's a communication relationship. And I just think makes me love his personality even more. 33, Revelation 22:12. He promised that he will come quickly and his reward will be with him to give every man according to his work. I like that too. 34, in Romans 14:11 and Philippians and Isaiah, he said, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that what? Jesus Christ is Lord. Yes, he promised. All right, Revelation 21:4, and the last, and I love this one so much, Revelation 21:4, he promised, he will wipe away all our tears from our eyes. There will be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither will there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. How beautiful is that? How pretty is that? You know, in Hebrews 6, chapter 6, says that God cannot lie. He can't. And so all of these promises balance on this one that says he cannot lie. It's impossible for our Heavenly Father to lie. Now, we know who the father of lies is, right? We know that Satan is the father of lies. So from the east to the west, God is the opposite of who Satan is, from how separate he is from him. He's so far from that. He is the father of truth. He's not a liar. And all these promises we can count on every day. I want you to keep this. I want you to write, add to, but I want you to pray these promises. On days of whatever is afflicting you, what particular thing you need that promise brought back up. Bring it back out and say, God, right here, you said this. Not only did you say it, but I believe it. And I'm going to carry this with me through my life. I'm going to carry this with me through this day. And I'm going to hold on to your promises. I'm going to stand on your promises, just like the song says. And I'm not letting go. Let's close in prayer. Dear Father, we thank you so much that we can stand on your promises. We can know that you are Lord of our lives, that you are in the midst of us, that you give us the words to say when it is needs to be done, and that you are strong in our weakness. And we can be weak. We don't have to be strong. You are our strength. And we hold on that promise. There's so many promises on here we cling to, as well as so many more in your word. And when we read your word, I ask that you will help us identify even more promises that you have spoke, that you speak, that you sing over us every day. You are a God of faithfulness, and you are a God of truth. And I'm so grateful that you have proven yourself. You have proven your promises time and time again. And we are so comforted in that, Father. And because of these promises, we can be still and know that you truly are God. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this amazing show of love that you have for us. In Jesus, his precious holy name, we pray. Amen.